WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A civic media station.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. At least one person is dead, six others injured, police say, and a suspect is in custody following that active shooter incident at Florida State University earlier. Shots ringing out, FSU issued an emergency alert telling people to shelter in place just after noon. ABC's Victor Oquendo says the FBI is also on scene and they were taking time to sweep the area.
That is a massive, it is a sprawling campus. If this did happen at the student union, in the middle of the day on a Thursday, can't imagine how many students, many teachers, how many people would have been around that student union right now. Last check, Florida State University is still telling their students to continue to shelter in place.
Students who evacuated reacting to the shooting.
It's definitely shocking to me right now. Generally, Florida State University is a very safe campus. I know they have...
Officials expected to update and hold a briefing this hour. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Town halls have been a point of contention for months now. Republicans have held them all over the country and here in Wisconsin, and when they do, they've been met with boos and protesters. Representative Derek Van Orden of Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District claims these aren't his constituents. He says they're paid agitators. The leader of congressional campaigns at the Republican Party has told GOP legislators to stop hosting them in the first place. There's even a Wisconsin nonprofit stepping in to give people a platform to demand town halls from their lawmakers. Democrat Mark Pocan held a town hall in Monroe last night. He says it's the largest crowd he's ever had. Hundreds of people were there. They were asking about the decisions of the Trump administration and demanding Democrats do more. Pocan said being in your district in person is a basic part of the job.
The basic level of your job is going to Washington and representing the values of your constituents and then explaining Washington back home. Those are the two things that every member should have to do. And if you don't have town halls, you're kind of missing out on that big part of getting the input from your constituents, because I know a lot of people do telephone town halls. I did a few during COVID, but they're kind of BS.
Pocan says he's also been asked to speak at town halls in other states, but he's focusing on his district first. Meanwhile, another person has entered the running to lead the Democratic Party in Wisconsin. Here's Jimmy Kuska.
Joe Sopecki, who teased his campaign following current chair Ben Wickler's announcement that he wasn't running again, said Democrats needed to build on the momentum of the past 6 years with Wickler.
Whoever is the next chair, we cannot afford to have whoever it is waste time trying to stitch the party back together.
Sopecki joins Devin Remicker, Brian Kennedy, and William Garcia as candidates. A new chair will be elected this June at the WIS Dems convention.
That's Jimmy Kuska. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. This is 92.7 WMDX News.
The Brewers dismissed Detroit. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 5-1 victory over the Detroit Tigers. Home runs by Rhys Hoskins and Christian Yelich. Pitcher Jose Quintana on getting his second win of the season.
Feels great. You know, every single day means a lot, you know, and about your preparation, how you want to be ready for games.
The crew has the day off before opening a 3-game series at home against the A's tomorrow night. NBA, the Bucks holding a final practice session before heading to Indianapolis tomorrow for Saturday's playoff game at noon. Center Brooke Lopez on facing the Pacers again in the postseason.
We know who they are, what they're capable of, what their identity is. We've been working these last few days on being ultra vigilant about transition, you know, transition, the way they move the ball around the floor in the half court, how unselfish they are, just being ready to go from the jump defensively.
That's Bucks center Brooke Lopez with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Scattered storms this evening, some could be strong, still a shower or two overnight, and a low in the low 50s. Scattered storms still a possibility tomorrow, a high in the low 70s. Mostly dry and pleasant for the weekend, with highs in the 50s. Currently 57 degrees.
The Dane County Humane Society offers programs for humans of all ages.
Oh, wow.
For kids, there's Camp Paw Print, Scout Workshops, After Dark, and the new Camp Wild Side. They also offer field trips, birthday parties, service days, and their new Paws and Pages reading program. Learn more at giveshelter.org/education.
Child abuse is not a bad parent problem.
And the causes may be different than you think.
You see, paid family leave,
that prevents child abuse.
And high quality, affordable child care
prevents child abuse too.
Prevent Child Abuse America promotes programs and resources informed by science that help communities, parents, and kids thrive.
Because when we keep families out of crisis,
we prevent child abuse
from ever happening.
Go to preventchildabuse.org to learn more.
Let's solve child abuse before it ever happens.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Civic Media is excited to announce a new programming lineup starting Wednesday, April 23rd. The new afternoon news talk lineup will include the Todd Alba Show from 2 to 4 p.m., the Maggie Dawn Show from 4 to 6 p.m., and Nightlight with Pete Schwabba from 6 to 8. For all the details of our programming lineup changes, head over to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us/press, to learn more. We now take you to an encore Best of the Dom Salvia Show. Enjoy.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
Harvey Kay, our favorite Delano Democrat, professor emeritus of democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, and a frequent guest on this program. Harvey, welcome. Happy St. Patty's Day, man.
Thank you, and the same to you.
Thank you. Any green beer in your future, or did you already imbibe over the weekend?
I don't mean to be a downer, but, you know, I've been married to the same woman for 52 years, coming up in May. And
wow.
She's British.
Yeah.
So, a consequence, St. Patty's Day has not been.
It's not been celebrated, huh?
Not been thing. Celebrated. No.
All right. Well, I'll have an extra one for you tonight, Harvey.
Please do.
Harvey, love it when you come around, man. A lot of folks are already chiming in and want to hear your opinion. Lots of things to get to today, but I think we got to start really with the quote unquote potential of a constitutional crisis here, Harvey. Professor Emeritus of Democracy, how important are the courts and their orders in a democracy and the fact that they have to be followed, I think, in order for the rule of law to rule? How important are the courts, Harvey?
Look, it's fundamental. And not just in a democracy. I mean, we can argue about whether or not the framers of the Constitution got it right or not. But it has worked for many generations, that idea of checks and balances. And when I say checks and balances, good politics can prevail, okay? Good laws can prevail. But it is the case that we currently have, I mean, this is being nice about it, we currently have a rogue administration that when it came into office, decided it was going to pursue change by way of executive orders, fundamentally just executive orders. First. And second of all, they brought in a corporate billionaire. Well, soon to be trillionaire, I expect.
The richest man in the world.
Right. to make decisions about government. Now, that's utterly ridiculous. Okay. But here's the thing. They don't seem to care less about the courts. Yeah, for a while they were sort of hedging a bit. And they would even reverse something and he would shift gears. But right now, with the deportation question, it really does seem to me that they're prepared to go and they're prepared to ignore the courts. Okay. And if you get an executive who's going to ignore the courts, that's clearly a constitutional crisis. I mean, I can't imagine what else would be a constitutional crisis. And what we've seen as well is that Congress has yet to assert its, if you like, its power and authority to address this constitutional crisis. I mean, we're there. I mean, I know their lawyers might argue, well, we're not quite there. We're there. okay? Especially when you consider the degree to which people's lives are being affected. I mean, we'll get to that later, I assume. It really is, yes, a constitutional crisis. I mean, you know, here's something else. I was thinking about this today. On the one hand, Donald Trump is essentially, I mean, he's smart on certain kinds of things, but he's not terribly well educated. And he really doesn't understand. If you said checks and balances, I doubt if he would understand that. But here's the thing. The folks that they brought in as part of their transition team and as their advisors are really too smart for us right now. That is, they're handing over to Trump a whole series of ideas and initiatives to follow up on his promises of these last couple of years. And they're doing it and pointing to things in American history and law, which seem to be the kinds of things that would validate Trump's actions. Now, the first time he was president, that's not the case. Okay. Right. They didn't have that, in spite of the attorney general being supposedly so smart and so well educated. The thing is, at least he had some reservations about going all in with Trump. I mean, it was scary at the time, but compared to what we see now, you know, it almost seems like moderate, which it wasn't. Right. But the thing is that they are really, really equipping him, or at least cabinet officers, with a certain kind of constitutional logic or legislative logic. The best example I can give you is they're referring to one of the four Alien and Sedition Acts of 1798,
right,
to validate the deportations. And, you know, it's the Alien Act. Now, let me say this. The Alien Act has been used in American history. I mean, John Adams' administration. I mean, one of the reasons possibly he didn't get reelected was because of the Alien and Sedition Acts and how they alienated certain leading figures and also working class people of that day. Okay, who, by the way, were not as anti-French as the administration at that time. I won't go into the whole history there. Okay, it's also the case that FDR made use of deportations. It's undeniable, okay? But really, when you're in a state of war, one can more readily understand it. And in fact, what are we in a state of war? I don't think we are, though we've seem to have been in war ever since the 1960s, one way or the other.
Congress has to declare war, right? So we're in a state of police, police action, I guess, Harvey.
Yeah. So, you know, and also, you know, one of the other things is you would imagine that after 250 years as of next year, we would have learned something about those kinds of things in the past and the degree to which, if we want to be a democracy, and if we want to be a democracy guided by the rule of law, there are things that just don't do. Okay. Now, I can also tell you that I've read, you know, some of these stories about, the Syrian or Palestinian fellow at Columbia who's in custody or in jail or in prison, whatever is down in Louisiana.
Yes, he's in detention. But, yeah.
And of course, it sounds like if you're going to deport Venezuelan gangs, you know, the majority of Americans say, oh, yeah, just go ahead and do it. Right. But you just don't go ahead and do it in a democracy that's committed to the rule of law. You use the courts as the means by which you prove your case, and then you can proceed if you're found to be correct. I read the one story. I don't know if you reported on that last hour. So, they were en route to El Salvador or somewhere like that.
Yeah.
And they were off the coast, apparently,
prisons.
And they were told by the court or the judge, get him back. Right.
Yes.
And they were as far as the Yucatan and the flight pattern. I hope everyone has a sense of geography. OK. And they said, oh, what the hell? We'll just let him go on.
Ah, international waters, Harvey. Yeah, we would have come back, but, you know, too late. So sad.
Ah, God. It's also the case. I don't want to get too far afield, but.
All right. Hey, I'm going to reset here. Yeah, hang on.
Stop me.
Folks are listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That is Harvey Kaye, Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. We're talking about, you know, the fact that this administration has apparently defied court order. A little bit here from the reporting from Slate. The Trump administration pushed forward into a new phase of the rolling national constitution crisis over the weekend, reportedly defying two different federal court orders imposing limits on its deportation of immigrants without due process. Now, one was this kidney transplant doctor, despite a judge's Friday order halting her removal. They still sent her off. And a second, as we're talking about these 250 Venezuelan migrants that Donald Trump is the son of all their gang members. And again, to your point, Harvey, okay, if they are gang members, we're criminals, we don't have criminals, but you don't know that until you go through due process, right? Right. You don't get to dub the criminal. I mean, this is an Animal House with your Delta name, man. You have to be found to be, in my opinion. Now, you know, enacting this law, this very rarely used and when used historically has been bad. Look at the Japanese internment. That's the law we're talking about, right?
Well, actually, just to be clear, the Japanese internment did not depend on the Alien Act.
Oh, did? Okay.
Unless they were not. See, the Japanese Americans were citizens. The problem is that there were those who were not. Those who were not could have been rounded up and deported.
Gotcha.
But the Japanese Americans were citizens in most cases. So it wasn't that. It was an executive order. And that was one of the worst civil liberties, you know, attacks on civil rights and civil liberties in American history. I mean, FDR was, I think I've said this before, FDR was a great president, but he made some tragic and terrible mistakes.
And that being certainly one of them.
If not,
and now it looks like, you know, Harvey, even if you have a green card or if you're married to a U.S. citizen. So I always thought, like, if you're married to a U.S. citizen, you kind of get the pass. That's always the kind of way I interpreted the whole immigration thing. Apparently, that's not the case, Harvey. I mean,
he had his green card. He had the green card. Right.
Yeah, in Colombia. And we talked in the last segment about this couple from Wisconsin, made the national news over the weekend. Wisconsin Dells guy, you know, working locally at the local factory, you know, meets the girl of his dreams. She's from Peru. They get married. They go on their honeymoon. Well, she comes back. She's not in the system. She applied for everything. She overstayed her visa. And boom, they took her. And then she's out. And this guy's won. And he voted for Donald Trump. So I think
I don't want to make light of it, but you know, I wish people would pay more attention when they vote.
Yeah. I mean, there are for real consequences, and there could be consequences for these actions. Harvey, you only got a couple of minutes left in this, but one of our texters brought up, and I think it's a good point. What was it? Andrew Jackson told the Supreme Court, basically, you'll let them enforce it. So what happens? What do you think? How does this play out? If Donald Trump and the court filings right now, to my understanding, I didn't read them, but from the reporting that I've heard, aren't specifically saying we're not listening to you. What they're saying is, well, you know, we were in international waters. It was a verbal report and the written order didn't come till later and, you know, making all sorts of excuses. Now, apparently Friday they're going to have another hearing on this case. But it's hard for me to wonder, like, where do we go from here? I mean, regardless of how they present it in court, the effect is a non-compliant with the order, Harvey.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, at this point, I'm stumped. I don't know where you go from here, okay? Especially if Congress is unwilling to chastise the president.
Yeah, and they're able, just unwilling. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. Harvey Kaye, Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. He's sticking around for the whole hour, Harvey. Look forward to having more conversation with you. Where do we go? To whom do we look for justice if we have an executive branch that ignores court orders? Come back with us.
A voice for medicine, real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
Herbal Aspect has landed. That's right. Madison's go-to cannabis destination now has a brand new location in Sun Prairie.
Wait, 4 locations? That's a high level of convenience.
With 3 Madison locations and now Sun Prairie, a great cannabis experience is always close by. Our expert staff is here to help whether you walk in, call, or order online. Mention Radio 420 and get a special discount. So stop by Herbal Aspect in Sun Prairie. Because great cannabis isn't just a pipe dream.
Nice. I'm rolling over now.
Herbal Aspect.
Are you ready to crack open something amazing? Whether it's a fresh pistachio or the keys to your dream home, we've got you covered. Just like pistachios, the best homes are worth the wait. And once you find the perfect one, it is so satisfying. At Aaron Weber Group, we help you find homes that are as irresistible as a handful of pistachios. So whether you're house hunting or just snacking, remember, great things come in shells and in the perfect four walls. Call Aaron Weber Group, powered by Compass today, and let's get you into a home that's a real treat.
Get ready to sizzle this Easter. Come into Koryul Hut Korean Barbecue and Hot Pot, Easttown Mall. Indulge in all-you-can-eat Korean barbecue with the freshest meats grilled right at your table. Wash it down with boba tea. Enjoy the pleasant atmosphere at Koryul Korean Barbecue and Hot Pot.
This is Chad Spate. Are you thinking about improving your home? At Chad's Design Build, we're proud to offer remodeling done well with love. And our commitments to you and your home convey that love and spell our name. The Chad's experience is structured to provide excellent communication, honesty, accuracy, detailed proposals, and satisfied customers. We're also committed to making your home comfortable, healthy, attractive, durable, and sustainable. If you want a quality remodel and a quality remodeling experience, go to chadsdesignbuild.com to learn more.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
Hail, hail the black sheep.
Sticking around on the encore presentation of the Dom Salvia Show. Civic Media has some lineup changes coming up starting next week on the 23rd, and at this time, you'll be listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. In the meantime, enjoy some of the best conversations Dom has had with Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay.
Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, joining me this hour. Got Just PS working hard on the phone. We got a couple of callers and some texters. Be patient. We will get to you. As mentioned, Harvey, this administration apparently not following court orders, at least in two specific cases. We talked about this doctor that was deported. Of course, these 250 Venezuelan migrants who they claimed are terrorist gangsters, without, of course, any due process. A little bit from the Slate article, the Justice Department claimed that it could not comply with the order barring the doctor's removal because it arrived too late. But the White House defended its defiance of the order prohibiting deportations of Venezuelans, insisting that the judge had no jurisdiction over the migrants and that Trump holds absolute, unreviewable constitutional authority to expel non-citizens. 855-752-4842. We have some sound of an exchange with Caitlin Collins from CNN and Caroline Levitt regarding a verbal versus written order. Let's play that, and however you want to get your opinion on the other side.
You keep talking about the judge's written order, which hit the docket Saturday night at about 7:26 p.m., but he issued a verbal order before that at about 6:45 and 6:48 p.m. based on the court hearing, a verbal order from the bench. Does the White House feel the need to comply with a verbal order from this judge?
Again, as I said, all of the planes subject to the written order of this judge departed U.S. soil, U.S. territory before the judge's written order.
But what about the verbal order, which, of course, carries the same legal weight as a written order, and said for the planes to turn around if they were
well,
in the air?
There's actually questions about whether a verbal order carries the same weight as a legal order, as a written order, and our lawyers are determined to ask and answer those questions in court.
Yeah, I bet they are. Harvey K., your thoughts, sir?
I'm sitting here thinking to myself, you know, they've got an answer for everything, and most often it's not an answer.
Right.
And that's what's happening now when people challenge anything that they do, and they keep hoping that time is on their side. You know, the plane's already gone, and the guys are down there, and you know, what are we going to do? Kind of, you know, and then they'll say, you're making us spend all this money to go back and get them something. I mean, you'll come up with all that kind of stuff. They'll manage it in a way so that most Americans will say, oh, well, You know, it's tragic. I don't know what to say.
Got some callers. Hold on. Let's get to them. Brian from Milwaukee. You will be first this segment. Brian, welcome. What do you got for us?
Thanks. Just want to say, you know, with everything going on, people are kind of getting what they voted for, and it's sad but true. The one thing that really upsets me is that I really don't care who you voted for, because I think we're at that point where if you voted for Trump or Harris or independent Democrat, Republican, whatever, it's going to take everyone to stand up and fight this administration, because the people that are elected in office right now aren't going to back down against Trump because they're too afraid to do anything because they think their jobs are on the line, you know. And this weekend was, I believe, Ruth Bader Ginsburg's birthday, or what would have been. And she would always quote the Constitution. And it started with what three words? We the people. And I think it's at that point where no matter who you voted for, if you see this injustice going on, please get a backbone, grow a pair of, you know what I mean, and stand up against this, because this is going to affect you, me, family, friends, coworkers, in some way, shape, or form. And unless we come together and do something about this, this is only going to get so much worse than it is right now.
Yeah, Brian. Sorry, man. Got to cut you short. Who got some other callers holding? It is certainly disturbing, and certainly folks need to stand up and shout out from the rooftops. Man, that's what I'm talking about. But you also gotta be careful. As mentioned, you know, if you're not a citizen, man, you know, I don't know if now is the time, because these guys are coming after you left and right. And whether or not it's constitutional, whether or not it's legal, they don't seem to give a damn. You know, they'll do it, and then you got to try to, you know, stop them after the fact. And that's not how it should be, in my opinion. Harvey, anything to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's so frustrating, and I'm solidly with Brian that people are going to have to figure out how to come together in en masse to oppose these things. Now, that's tough to do. I mean, people have, you know, it's just plain tough to do to all of a sudden organize this. And at some point, I do want to talk about today. Let's make sure to talk about Bernie's and what he's been doing, because I think he has the answer to at least part of the problem as to how to confront the Trump administration.
Bernie on the tour. Let's sneak one more caller in this segment. We'll come back and talk about Bernie Sanders. We'll talk about AOC. We'll talk about what's going on in the Democratic Party. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that as well, Harvey. Cam from Appleton, you will be next. Welcome, Cam. What are your thoughts?
Hey, Dom. Hey, Harvey. I was over the weekend, I saw the deceased veteran, Charles C. Rogers. He's an African-American gentleman, and on the Department of Defense's website, it goes into how he ended up getting a Medal of Honor in his life, and they removed his page. But if you go through the normal means of going, like, through the Department of Defense's website to get to the page, and this gets buried in a lot of the articles, it's not the headliner for a lot of them, but if you dig into to find his page, it will pop up saying 404 page not found. But if you compare it to a web archive link showing, like, what it originally had looked like compared to what it is now, the link is appended to say from Medal of Honor Monday Army Major General or Gen Charles Kelvin Rogers to DEI Medal of Honor Monday Army Major General Charles Kelvin Rogers. They added DEI Medal to it.
What?
Holy cow.
Come on, yeah. Cam. All right, we'll have to check that out. And they're going, thanks for the call, Cam. Thanks for getting us even more mad. I mean, they're going after everything all the time. They're pushing all the buttons. I saw it described like the Velociraptors from the movie, you know, testing the fence lines, trying to find a point of weakness. Well, you know, if we stand united, it won't be us. Come back with us. Let's talk about where perhaps those points of weaknesses are. Come on, Senator Bernie Sanders, AOC, Chuck Schumer, Democratic Party, and you, and Harvey K., Professor Emeritus from the University of Wisconsin at Green Bay. Come back with us.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei-Olson. An update on one of the investigations into the former Madison city clerk. Mary Beth Witzel Bell resigned earlier this week over the 193 ballots that went uncounted in November. There are two investigations into those uncounted ballots, one at the city level and another from the Wisconsin Elections Commission. The commission has the power to depose people on the legal record and determine whether someone acted improperly or even illegally. Chair of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, Ann Jacobs, says they have deposed Witzel Bell and a few others.
Those depositions did raise some additional questions. It is our plan to take additional depositions, both at the city and the county level. On a positive note, I do think the information we're learning will help inform some best practices for tracking absentee ballots, making sure all absentee ballots are counted.
Their investigation continues. And in an update to a story we brought you yesterday, a woman will be booked on a homicide charge after the death of her mother in Blue Mounds Monday. The Dane County Sheriff's Office says someone had called 911 to report a disturbance between two women. 54-year-old Heather Schoonover died. After a car crash and chase on foot, deputies arrested her daughter, 31-year-old Sierra Schoonover. She's in the hospital, but once she's released, they'll take her to jail on charges of first-degree homicide. Meanwhile, the man police say kidnapped the Beaver Dam teenager he got pregnant is now back in Wisconsin in police custody. Authorities say 40-year-old Gary Day took a 16-year-old girl with him in February when she was 3 months pregnant. There were Amber Alerts issued across multiple states. She was eventually spotted a few weeks ago at a gas station in Nebraska. She's been reunited with her family, and Day is now in the Dodge County Jail facing charges of child abduction and child enticement. I'm Savannah Tomei-Olson. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Taylor Sheridan and Paramount Plus are proving to be a match made in ratings heaven. Sheridan's 1923 season 2 finale brought in over 14 million viewers, the most ever for the series, as people tuned in to finally see World War I hero and lion hunter Spencer Dutton come to the defense of his family's land. As a result, the show joined Landman and Tulsa King as the top three shows on Paramount Plus. The season 2 finale of 1923 also got 163 million views on social media. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia will return for its 17th season in July. In a related story, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia has been on for 17 seasons. In the new season, the Patty's Pub Gang struggles as they are about to see their beloved bar devoured by corporate America. Admittedly, I completely forgot it was still on the air, but it is currently the longest running live action series. The new season starts July 9th on FX with shows screening on Hulu the next day. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Scattered storms this evening, some could be strong, still a shower or two overnight, and a low in the low 50s. Scattered storms still a possibility tomorrow, a high in the low 70s. Mostly dry and pleasant for the weekend, with highs in the 50s. Currently 57 degrees.
Yo, I'm your old basketball. Haven't seen you out on the courts in a while. Why not pass me over to Goodwill? Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that's a slam dunk. Donate today. Hey, I got next.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
If you could change your name, if you could pick your own name, what would you change it to? Daniel Wheeler says, linguistically, Pete's last name is interesting because it requires a wet mouth. Requires a wet mouth to pronounce it correctly. Pete Schwabe, you have to have a wet mouth to say that? That sounds so perverse, Daniel.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, rumors of infighting within the Wisconsin Republican Party. We talk about that with Dan Schaefer as we recombobulate. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 11.
I met my love by the gasworks cross. Dream that dream. the factory wall. Dirty old town, dirty old town.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Happy St. Patty's Day to us all.
Hey folks, thanks for sticking around on this encore presentation of the Dom Salvia Show. Here are some more of his best discussions with Harvey K.
Got Just PS working hard, spinning the tunes. Thank you for that one, man. Love that song. Heard that one in Ireland, man. It was good stuff. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, joining me till the top of the hour. Don't forget, next segment, tell us something good. We'd love to hear something good. Smile on our face on the Green Beer Day. Harvey, you are a big fan of FDR, and we are big fans of Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders out on the oligarchy tour. And he did a couple of stints here in the state of Wisconsin, sold out, packed crowds, people waiting. Obviously, Bernie Sanders continues to resonate with the people, man. What do you think the overall goal is here? What is he trying to accomplish, man? We're going to have another election for a couple of years. Why is Bernie out there, and is he having an impact, in your opinion, sir?
Well, he's clearly having an impact in the sense that people are paying attention. People are turning out. Well, we need to clone Bernie as fast as we can. Right. Okay, we need to get lots of Bernie Sanders literally out there doing this. I mean, everyone wonders, what are the Democrats doing? And the fact is that they should be embracing Bernie Sanders on this. And Bernie Sanders, wherever he goes, should make it a point. And if they refuse him, let it be known they refuse him. He should be bringing the leading Democratic politicians into the show with him. I know he's got AOC coming with him soon. Yeah. It's imperative that people start to see the Democratic Party as basically the source of Bernie Sanders, both angst and potential. I mean, Bernie is not, he's obviously outraged with the Democratic Party. He's not in the party. He has caucused with the party. Okay. But it's also the case that we don't hear much about what the party might be doing to build on the rage. I mean, people are angry about what's happening. And one of the things that is just so beautiful, there was this article that I sent you guys today from the New Republic by Jason Linkins, in which he actually says Bernie seems to have this answer as to how to respond to the Trump folks. It won't overnight change anything, but it will build a momentum. You build off of the rage that Americans are starting to feel. As he said, look, people are angry. So what do you do? What Bernie's doing, you put a human face on the harms of Trumpism. Okay, so for example, look, think about what's going on. We have the NIH has been under siege. Hell, cancer research is in jeopardy. The affordable housing that's being denied, the foodborne illnesses that we know are that prevail, not to mention the measles cases that are erupting. Put a human face on all of this. We know that each one of us, by our own experience, when we read about these things, it occurs to us, this is ridiculous. This is absurd. This is tragic. What can we do? Well, Bernie puts the human face on it. We need to find the folks who are being affected by this. And we've got to push them forward into the media to speak of their, you know, of what's happening to them and to their families. And, you know, I think I said to you that, I have said that Thomas Paine knew how to call out the enemy. He knew how to do it. Bernie, I think these were his words in the article, said there's no quicker path to good, cheap conflict because you want to get the Trump administration to do battle with you. He said, President Deals, capital D, President Deals and his ketamine-addled freak sidekick are screwing you over. That's got to be the best line I've heard since the election. Even the sound of it just resonates so powerfully. It's like the kind of thing I wish I had thought of that. And man, that's it. So you've got to find these folks, not just us who are all angry. You got to find folks who are literally ready, you know, to punch this administration in the nose, get them into the media, let Americans hear that they're not alone in their rage and their outrage, their frustration and their worry, and get this to become, if you like, the grounds of a movement, the grounds of a movement. Look, deaths have already occurred. Deaths will ensue. Okay. I'm not looking forward to that, but if they are going to take place, We have to have them attended to, not only by, you know, medical authorities, but also by the media. And Bernie, I think, is a vehicle for that. And I know AOC is going to be coming on the road with him. In every state, Democrats should go on the road with him. Labor leaders should go on the road with him. I mean, I can't stress that enough. And I do want to say one other thing. So when I was down in Sarasota a couple of weeks ago, and you will notice for your sake, I have my Siesta Key hat on here.
Yeah, nice.
Okay. I was there because of a veterans group that I've been working with for almost 20 years. Okay. And what is the case is I've talked to them and they're revved up. They want to make, they don't want to put up with this any longer. They were first organized against the second Bush administration. Not the second, it's George W. Bush, not George H.W. Bush.
Right. The son.
Yeah. And I said to them, look, you guys may well be, you know, in some ways marginal in veterans affairs because you're a progressive group. But this is the moment where other veterans groups, from the American Legion to Veterans of Foreign Wars, may well join you because the Veterans Administration is also under siege.
Right.
I mean, what more can we ask for than a unification of groups that may not have been unified before coming out against Trump administration initiatives to hurt them? That's the word, to hurt them.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. Those are the words of Harvey J. K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. But it can't just be Harvey. It can't just be Bernie.
No, it can't just be Bernie.
You know, and even AOC. And, you know, we look at this continuing resolution that went through last week. And everyone, all the Dems in the House, save one, voted against it. And then it gets over to the Senate and, you know, Chuck Schumer, the leadership over there, they all vote for it. They all vote for it for their reasoning. And I don't agree with that. And I know AOC, hell, even Pelosi, I think they're going through the roof. People,
even Pelosi,
mad.
Right.
Yeah,
even,
why are you acknowledging, why are you going along with this? I mean, and I understand that because they're essentially shutting the government down now anyway. I don't think, you know, if you look at the polling, that the Democrats would have been blamed. Now, certainly there's got to be a longer term solution than a 30-day, you know, delay. We'll vote on it then. Maybe they could have gotten something through. But where is the fight in the Senate, man? I mean, if you lose all the leverage, you have no leverage now. This thing goes out to what, September? If you're going to take some heat for pushing back and fighting now, you're never going to be any further away from the midterms than you are today. You're a little bit closer tomorrow. You're a little bit closer to day after that. I don't get it. And I think there is a disconnect to some degree in the Democratic Party. I mean, you know, Schumer's not out there with Bernie, but AOC is going to be. What does that tell you, Harvey?
It tells you that everything we've seen for some years now is true. And what do I mean by that? Well, go back to the very beginning of the Biden administration when Bernie was doing his very best to try to get the minimum wage raised to $15 an hour. And yet 8 Democratic senators said no. 8 Democratic senators. I mean, I wouldn't have been shocked if it was Manchin and Sinema who tried that stunt, but it was 8 of them. And Biden didn't do anything to pull them into line. I mean, if it was just Manchin and Sinema, he could have said, okay, Sinema, I got a job for you. You're going to be the next ambassador to France. You like wine, I bet. Go over, okay? Right. Manchin, you know, Manchin knew he might have trouble because his wife was right on the edge there of losing whatever it was that she was doing. Now, the fact is that they just aren't willing to do that. Look, we've seen the first time Jeffries has actually spoken by not speaking. Yeah. When they asked him questions about Schumer and what happened, and
no
he said,
comment.
Next question,
next
a couple
question.
Of times.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe he can be pushed another, you know, one more step, but that wouldn't unseat Schumer. Here's the thing. Here's the other thing. Bernie should have joined the Democratic Party after the 2016 election. If he was in the Democratic Party, then maybe now he could have organized an overthrow of Schumer. Okay. An overthrow. I can't explain Schumer's actions. He rationalizes it because, well, you know, it'll shut down the government. And we don't want to be responsible for that. But as you said, they're doing it bit by bit anyhow. Okay. Well, you know.
And you can blame the Republicans because, listen, man, they jammed this thing through. And those senators, as one of our texters points out, it wasn't, you know, all the Dems didn't vote for it, but only a handful shamefully did, as Uncle Tony mentions. Well, yeah, Uncle Tony, but it was the entire leadership. It was Schumer. It was the whip. It was the leadership and a few others. They got it through. And what did they get for it? You know, the Republicans knew they were going to have to get some Democratic votes, and their effort to reach out across the aisle for Democratic votes was to stick it to them. And the Democratic leadership of the Senate said, thank you. Yes, we want nothing for this, and we'll go along with it, and basically justify your, you know, step-by-step dismantling of the institutions of our government. They went along with it. I mean, I don't if Donald Trump is a threat to democracy, and Elon Musk and the way they're going about this process is a threat to democracy. Well, and the Republicans are saying, hey, there's going to be some, you know, short-term pain for long-term gain. I mean, they're giving you all the ingredients you need to lay it in their lap. They didn't even reach across the aisle. They didn't offer a damn thing. And Schumer just took it, Harvey.
I know. I absolutely. He couldn't even figure out how, as you said, you know, to go across the aisle, to try to figure out a deal.
Something.
The deal could have been, hey, how about if you start holding Trump accountable? How about if you demand that Trump attend to the Supreme Court, not to the Supreme Court, to the judges who are saying to him, you can't do that, stop. I mean, what's going on? And I thought to myself, well, what could be going on? Are the hedge fund folks in New York who, and by the way, he's the hero of the hedge fund folks. He's always defended them, just as Biden was the hero of the credit card companies. Each one of these leading Democrats over years became the champions of some corporate cohort. Well, did the hedge fund folks call him and say, hey, you don't want to shut down the government. You're going to be jeopardizing our economic wherewithal. Who knows, okay? Right. But the fact is that I've been fed up with the Democratic Party for years. I vote Democratic. People tell me, well, why do you waste your vote? I said, because there's no other way to vote.
There's no other way.
Individually, a vote is one vote. Collectively, people have to organize. Look, I'm frustrated as hell that labor hasn't spoken up much more effectively to demand that working people be protected. Working people, not just on the job, but working people in terms of their rights as citizens.
Right. Consumer protection, for example. You know what I mean? There's all sorts
exactly.
Of, I mean, the we the people is getting is being challenged by, you know, they the billionaires, man. And it for these Democrats not to step up, not to recognize that, not to demand something for their vote. I just don't know what the point is. I mean, what's the end game for Chuck Schumer? Do you think AOC should primary him? They're both in New York. You know, she's in Congress. He's a senator.
I mean, okay, so
time, man. Let's get this.
It's 2028 is when 2028 is when his seat is up. Okay, I would like to see her starting to build a more statewide presence. Look, she's popular. She's a celebrity in many ways, but don't forget Gillibrand voted with Schumer, I believe, and she's the senator. New York always seems to have one senator from the city and one senator from upstate, and we don't want to waste her in a primary. If it's guaranteed that she can't win, it's possible she can. Okay. And I'd love to see that. I think she should, but I'm not telling her to announce today. I think people have to organize and start calculating the numbers. Well, how much money would it take to match the millions and millions that'll go into his campaign?
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That is Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. I'm mad about that vote, man. I mean, I can't believe there was nothing gained. Literally zero is basically an endorsement of what Trump is doing.
Ultimately, that is, yes.
I don't know how else to look at it, how else to spin it. But you know what? We got one more segment. So come back. Tell us something good. Even if you're calling, you got a comment, you got a question, you want to hang out with us, we'll get two of those questions and comments. But you got to start out by telling us something good. Back with Harvey K. Just PS on the board.
Dirty old town, dirty old town, dirty old town, dirty old town.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You know Ignite Glass and Gifts' three locations in Madison, but you can also shop igniteglassandgifts.com. You'll find grinders, lighters, collectibles, hand-blown glass water pipes, artistically designed jewelry, and plenty of other items delivered straight to your door or to family and friends. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts, Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and Odana Road. Plus, igniteglassandgifts.com.
Sugar River Pizza in Sun Prairie yet?
Oh, yeah, it's amazing.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I know. I love the pizza.
Pizza is ridiculous. That crust.
Right, and they have 48
beers on tap and a great selection of wines.
And the atmosphere.
Not only is the restaurant gorgeous.
That room with the giant,
giant windows that open. Yeah. And they won a Best of Madison Gold Award this year.
I love
Sugar River Pizza on Cabela Drive in Sun Prairie.
You took the words right out of my
mouth.
Yep. SugarRiverPizza.com.
Oh, so you have heard of it.
It's your girl, Brandi Grayson, the hostess with the mostest of the Black Convergence Show. And I'm inviting you to the Black Brilliance Gala, hosted by Urban Triage on Saturday, May 31st at the Overture Center for the Arts. Join us for an elegant night celebrating unsung heroes. For ticket information and to learn about sponsorship opportunities, please visit us at urbantriage.org. That's urbantriage.org.
Wherever you are in Wisconsin, there's a free and confidential Aging and Disability Resource Center, ADRC, or Tribal Partner Agency. We're here for older adults, adults with disabilities, and your families. ADRCs are a bridge to support for benefits and financial assistance, transportation, in-home care, and more. Get to know your local ADRC and connect with resources today. Call toll-free 1-844-WIS-ADRC or go to findmyadrc.org. Paid for by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
A voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
Salvia Show 855.
Thanks for sticking around for the encore presentation of the Dom Salvia Show. Here's more with Harvey K.
Tell us something good segment of the program. I got to tell you, I love the fact that there's new Billy Idol out there, man.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Talk about, I mean, that guy is ageless, man. I mean, he's been around a long time. I sent you a video over the weekend of Rebel Yell back in like 84. And he's still out there making music. It's fantastic.
Yeah, you sent me that one on Friday as well, and it's been stuck in my head all weekend.
I'm still dancing.
Still dancing.
And he did this dancing with my, I forget the original song now. Anyway, Billy Idol, man, coming out with some new music. Appreciate that. Tell us something good. Harvey K, I mean, would you like to do the honors? Do you have anything you'd like to share on this fine day? Tell us something good, Harvey.
Well, actually, I don't have anything huge, okay? But I have to tell you.
That's okay.
This is going to sound utterly trivial, but I got my car washed today, and it looked great. And I thought, wow, you know, what a difference a car wash. I drive a Mustang, a white Mustang, and it looked great. So that made me feel good in the midst of the mess around us.
It reminds me of, you know, being down in Florida. All the cars are clean, man. The roads are, there's no salt. Everything's nice. It's shiny. Occasionally, maybe you get some sand, but that's the worst thing,
right,
man.
Yeah.
No, I get you, man. A clean car. I need to wash mine.
That's what rain's for,
we had
five
inches of snow in Milwaukee yesterday.
You did?
Yesterday.
5 inches of snow?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
That's how much?
Yes. I know. I couldn't believe it. We're supposed to get like an inch. So yeah, cars a little.
We got that inch. We gave you the other five.
Yeah. How about you, Jess? Anything good you want to share?
Yeah, on Saturday, I got together with my husband's dad and stepmom and a cousin who my husband had never met before, and so I had never met before, and we just had a great time. We had dinner, we played some games, and it was just wonderful to connect with this woman who I had never met, he had never met, but, you know, they shared that bond, and we had a great time. We played some apples to apples, played some telestrations. It was a good time. It was fun. And it was just a reminder that, you know, get yourself out there, connect with people, even if you haven't talked to them in a long time, even if you have a bond, but you've never actually really connected, give it a shot.
There's always time.
Always time.
Well, we got now time. Use the time while you got it. You never know when you're not going to have any time.
What about you, Dom?
Oh, man. Of course, today, St. Patrick's Day, so happy St. Patty's Day. But much more importantly, my baby girl turns 20 years old today. Can you believe it? I know. Wow. How is that even possible? I'm only 29 myself. It's amazing how that happens. And so we had family over. Nine of them came over to the place and cooked some food. And Izzy picked up some ham and rolls from Glorioso's. Man, that place is awesome. Yeah. I know. So good. Same thing, man. You know, family and hung around the dinner table and just hung out for a few hours. It was great. We laughing our asses off, and my mother-in-law is swearing, so we all started swearing.
Good. I mean, it was good.
Yeah, it was a great celebration. And so today is her birthday, 20 years old. Wow. Happy birthday, Izzy. Can't believe it. My son turns 23 next month. I know.
Oh, my goodness.
A lot of birthdays in the air these days. Also, I got to say, I had some Humintosh.
Humintosh.
Oh my God, girl, that you made them. This was good. So what is this?
A Humintosh, they're cookies that we make for the Jewish holiday of Purim. They are a soft triangular cookie with jam in the middle. Traditionally, some people also do like chocolate or something. And they're supposed to represent the villain of the story of Purim, either his hat, his ears, or his pockets. We're not totally sure, but apparently he had some triangles going on, and so
some villain
he was real
triangles.
Bad, so we eat his hat or ears or pockets in a delicious fashion.
They're so good. I don't remember having one of those before, at least. So thank you for that. That was fantastic.
Yeah, my wife makes that every year and sends boxes to our, speaking of daughters, to our daughters and their families in St. Louis and New York, and our nephew and niece in New York. I mean, she really gets into it.
Yeah, it was really good. Well, I'll take some of your wife's as well, Harvey. So, I mean, if you have the mail.
Which is your favorite, Jess? Which is your favorite?
Cherry.
Oh, see, I'm not a cherry fan. I love prune. I love prune or poppy seed.
What fruit do we have on these?
Those were blackberry.
Oh, that was good.
Well, that sounds good. Wait, I take those sound great.
All right. Al from Jackson, you will have the final word today, sir. Welcome. Tell us something good, Al.
Yeah, I tell you what, in my news feed, there's one source of positivity right now, and that is in the world of astronomy with the launch of the James Webb Telescope.
Yeah.
All the data it's getting, finding new stars, new planets, new galaxies, new black holes, you name it. The amount of data we're getting is amazing, and our ability to process it, use that data, turn it into beautiful pictures, just amazing. And it's bringing up other things in the Hubble telescope now. Doing amazing things as well.
Yeah, Al, thank you so much. Talking with my daughter, she's also a space nerd. Now, we watch the spacey stuff sometimes and stuff. My wife just falls asleep because it's so peaceful and serene. And then the announcer's voice, you know, it's calm.
Uh-huh.
The space stuff is super cool. And, you know, some people still believe the Earth is 6,000 years old. You know what I mean?
Wait a minute.
What are you going to do?
And flat. Let's get it straight. And flat.
Yeah, very important. Don't forget that.
Don't forget that. Thank you, Harvey K. Don't forget, check us out on Mondays when Harvey K. comes around. He's the professor emeritus of democracy. We still have that, right, Harvey? At
you
the University
it.
Of Wisconsin, Green Bay.
Right.
We'll keep fighting for it. Appreciate you, my friend. Appreciate you, Jess P.S., working hard on the board. Happy St. Patty's Day, everyone. Go out. Be safe out there. Have a good time. Maybe some green beer if you need. Or
stick around for one more hour of the best of Harvey K. on the encore presentation of the Dom Salvia Show.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens, who will make the popcorn pick of the week. And then all the way from WGBW, Amanda Nimmer joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
32 flavors? No artificial flavors or colors? How do I choose?
Easy. Order one, then come back 31 more times.
Frosty's, West Madison's new ice cream spot, 702 South Gammon Road.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. In Tallahassee, a deadly shooting at the Florida State University campus today. FSU Police Chief Jason Trumbauer says the gunman opened fire near the student union and confirmed those who died.
Two victims of deceased are deceased, and five individuals have been transported to a local hospital with gunshot wounds.
The suspect in custody, police say he's an FSU student. ABC's Aaron Katursky has more.
His name is Phoenix Eichner, 20 years old, the son of an active duty Leon County Sheriff's deputy, an 18-year veteran. And we did a quick lookup of her biography, and it seems at least for a time she served as a school resource officer, someone who went two campuses in order to protect them from this kind of violence.
Police say they'll continue to investigate how the suspect gained access to a service weapon that was used. This is ABC News.